Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." The fact that man is the special creation of God, that he was made in the image of God and has the capacity to know God, proves that man is a special creature in the eyes of the Lord. This establishes the fact that God is sovereign over the creation of human life. God is also in charge of when man is created within the womb, not only sovereign over the creation of human life, but also when that life is created within the womb. We have a few instances of this in the Bible. Look at Genesis 29, verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. God opened the womb. He is in charge of when life is created. It's not you and I, but it's God Almighty. Also, look at Genesis 25, verse 21. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife. Here's Isaac praying, pleading with the Lord for his wife. He understood God was sovereign because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. God, sovereign over when life is created. And the Lord granted his plea. She had been barren, and the Lord opened her womb. God is sovereign over the when of life. Not only sovereign over all the creation of life, but when that life begins. Look at Genesis 30, verse 22. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. Here is God Almighty answering the prayer of Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb. We have a sovereign God, brothers and sisters. God is over all things. He is sovereign. There is no renegade molecules in the universe. God determines the when of life, when life is created. When we think of children, we think of it being just a product of a physical union between a man and a woman. It is far more than that. There is a sovereign God behind the scenes that determines whether or not that egg is fertilized. He determines whether or not life begins. Our sovereign God should cause us to praise him, to trust him. I realize that there are often physical issues involved as well. Still, behind it all is the sovereign will of God. God's will is sovereign, not man's will. Man's will is subservient to God's will. He determines whether or not life begins and when life ends. He opens the womb and he closes the womb according to his will. God is sovereign. His will is sovereign. He creates life in the womb when he wants. God is sovereign over all of creation. God not only decides if a person should be born, but he also decides on whether or not what that will would be in their life. Not only does God determine whether or not there will be life, he also determines what that life will become. God has decreed what your life will become. Man hates to hear that. Hates to hear that God is sovereign over all things. They hate that because they think that they're sovereign. But God Almighty is sovereign over life. He's sovereign over what you will become. Jeremiah 1:5 tells us, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. I sanctified you." God is sovereign over your life. He says to Jeremiah, "I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I appointed it." God Almighty is the one who ordains, who appoints, who sanctifies. He's also the one that justifies. It is a blessing to know of the sovereignty of God. It's so important to come to an understanding of that attribute of God Almighty. In Jeremiah 1:5, we read that God had his hand on Jeremiah and even had a plan for the prophet's life before he was ever born. Do you not remember the story of John the Baptist? Look at Luke 1, verses 13 through 17. "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard.'" Once again, here's a man of God praying to the Lord. The Lord heard his prayer. "And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He also will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." So here is God in his sovereignty decreeing that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. What a blessing. Once again, understanding God's sovereignty. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God." So here it's been decreed what his ministry would be. He would turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord. The God that creates life is also the God that decrees what will take place in that person's life. Verse 17 in Luke 1. "He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Here he is. It's been decreed what John the Baptist would do. He had the privilege and the honor of preparing the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 1:44, "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." We even read God was active in John's life while he was still in his mother's womb. There is nothing, brothers and sisters, that take place by happenstance. God has decreed it. What you and I are in this life is not the product of random chance and hapless genetics. When you hear people talk about luck, there's no such thing as luck. It's a sovereign God who rules and reigns. What we are in this life is the product of divine sovereignty, a glorious attribute of God. We are what we are because God determined it to be the way that it is. Whatever your lot in life is, God has decreed that. Job held this view. Turn to Job 10, verses 9 through 10. Job 10, 9 through 12, I should say. Remember, I pray, once again, pray. Remember, I pray that you have made me like clay, and will you turn me into dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? Clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews? Here he is confessing what God had done, how God had created him. Clothe me with skin and flesh, knit me together with bones. You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. Brothers and sisters, we are in the hands of a sovereign God. And not only are we in the hands of a sovereign God, but that God has sovereignly become our Father. Even though we were a child of darkness, God has brought us into the light. God has transferred us, the children of God, from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of his glorious Son. What a blessed verse. You have granted me life and favor. Your life given by the sovereign God. The favor that he has shown you. If you are married, if you have children, if you have a job, if you have your health, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're justified, sanctified, if you have eternal life, God has created you. He has given you life and favor. And your care, notice, has preserved my spirit. Brothers and sisters, how we have been blessed. How we have been blessed. Shall we not praise and worship and adore our sovereign God and our Father that has adopted us into his family through the Lord Jesus Christ? Even modern science, which tries so hard to destroy the very thought of God, confirms for us that we cannot be the product of mere chance. Notice these facts about your body. Here's just a couple statistics. The average body contains 7.5 trillion cells. It is far more complex than the most advanced computer. Do you want to put that to evolution? Do you want to credit evolution with that? 7.5 trillion cells. Each cell has 200 trillion tiny groups of atoms called protein molecules. Largest molecule is called DNA. That carries hereditary information from the parents to the offspring. Also carries genetic code. It determines if you'll be a man or a woman. DNA is, in one cell, is 6 feet long. Total DNA in body would fill a box the size of an ice cube. But if it were joined together, it would reach to the sun and back 400 times. A scientist has to be a fool to see those statistics and think that we are the product of chance, to think that we evolved from a single cell. If the coded DNA information and instructions of one human were translated into English, it would fill a 1,000-volume encyclopedia. In cell division, the cell forms a rotating double helix. It rotates at 75 turns per second. This is equal to straightening out a cathedral full of tangled microphone wire in under a split second. What a detailed, sovereign, omnipotent, another attribute of God. His omnipotence, all-powerful. What I'm trying to get us to understand is the fact that every human that is conceived in the womb is special. Special. And men and women would have you to believe that you evolved from a cell. You haven't evolved from a cell. You have been created by a sovereign, omnipotent, all-knowing God. Every person, whether born or unborn, is conceived for a purpose. Every human life is precious, and none are to be discarded out of hand. Who do we think that we are that we would decide who shall live and who shall die? Life must be protected and preserved at all costs. That unborn child in that mother's womb is precious. That mentally incapacitated person in that institution is precious. That terminally ill individual is precious. Regardless of their condition, every human life is precious in the sight of God, and it must be defended from those who look at it as something that can be thrown away. We are not God. Only God is God. He is the sovereign God that has decreed whatever that human being was created as. And not only has God created us, not only is God sovereign over all things, he is especially sovereign in the conclusion of life. That is the clear teaching of Scripture. Let's continue in Job. We were in Job 10. Let's look at Job 12, verse 10. In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? God. We are in God's hand. In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? God is the one that appoints life and death. Job 14, verse 5. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. Speaking of God. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. The days are determined, brothers and sisters, in your life. What a blessing to know that. Our days are determined by God. The number of his months is with you. God has appointed his limits so that it cannot pass. God, brothers and sisters, the sovereign, what a relief to know that God is in control. When you look around this world, it's spinning out of control. Men are running to and fro trying to figure it all out. And God has decreed it all from before the foundations of the world. Job 14, 14. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. God, sovereign over men and women. What a glorious truth. Look at Job 7, 7 verse 1. It tells us this. Excuse me a second. My page is stuck. Is there not a time of hard service for man on earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hired man? His days have been decreed. There is the evidence also from the Old Testament record in Daniel, where it says about Belshazzar, he was told when he would die. God has decreed when you would be born, what you would do in life, and when you would die. Christ told a parable in the New Testament that illustrates this truth. Look at Luke 12, 16 through 20. Then he spoke, Luke 12, 16 through 20. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? Here's a man. He is doing well financially. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I'll store all my crops and my goods. Is that not men and women today? Pulling down their houses, building greater ones. Pulling this down, building greater ones. And there I'll store all my crops and my goods. And when I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Your soul will be required of you tonight. God, sovereign over our life, the creation of our life, during our life, and the death of our life. Just as surely as the Lord has a plan regarding the beginning and the middle of your life, he also has a plan for the end of your life as well. God Almighty knows the day, he knows the hour, he knows the minute, he knows the very second when you will breathe your last and you will go out into the eternity that you have chosen. What have you done with this life that God Almighty has given to you? God appoints the time of man's death, and God also appoints the terms of man's death. It is not anyone else but Almighty God who appoints the terms. Not only does God decide when we will die, he also determines where we will breathe our last breath as well. Regardless of how you leave this world, you will leave it exactly when, where, and how the Lord has determined, predetermined, it will happen. It was the Lord's will that Moses would die alone with God on a mountain. Deuteronomy 34, verses 5 through 8. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of God. He buried him, God, in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. God has decreed when, where, and how you will die. Moses died alone with God. It was God's will that Jacob die surrounded by his children. God decreed that also. He decreed for Moses to die alone with him, and he decreed for Jacob to be surrounded by his children. Genesis 49:33. And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed and breathed his last and were gathered to his people. There was Jacob blessing his 12 sons, commanding them what they should do after his death. And he breathed his last and was gathered to his people. Moses dies along with God. Jacob dies with his family. God is sovereign. It was also God's will that Paul would die at the hands of Roman executioners. God appoints the time of man's death. God appoints the terms of man's death. God says when we would be born, what our life would be like. Sometimes People leave through tragedies. Sometimes people die because of disease. Sometimes they go out of here by way of old age. Sometimes they go suddenly in their youth. But however they leave the world, it is God's will that must determine the when, the where, and the how, and not the will of men. And not the will of men. Brothers and sisters, how comforting to know these truths, that our God is sovereign over our whole lives. Nothing has taken place by chance in your life. It wasn't luck. It wasn't karma. It was God Almighty. It was God Almighty that said all the way back in Genesis, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have. And you fill in the blank. Whatever it is that God has decreed for you. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. And who in the world does any man or woman think they are to decide what they should do with a human life? God is the sovereign one. God is the one that will judge us ultimately. You will either be judged as being saved in the Lord Jesus Christ because of Christ's work on the cross, or will you be judged outside of Christ? The scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. The question is, where will you find yourself on the day of judgment? Will you find yourself in Christ, justified, forgiven of your sins, your transgressions covered over, justified because of Christ? Will you find yourself welcomed into heaven because of Christ? Or will it be said to you in that day, depart from me, for I never knew you. Depart from me, for I never knew you. And those will go off in a tragic way. For the scripture says that you are either going to be in heaven or you are going to be in hell. What a sobering thought. I'll end with the scripture that says, what does it profit a man if you gain the whole world and you forfeit your soul? Is today the day that God Almighty has decreed for you to repent and believe? For Jesus Christ has said, repent and believe, and you shall be saved.